Praise the Lord and welcome to the service. I have a different kind of teaching today, but I want us to pay attention. I believe the Lord is going to bless our hearts. Amen. I mean, every time we come into the service, I know the Lord will always bless our hearts. Hallelujah. So while you are seated, I want you to lift up your heads, raise your hands, and just soak in his presence for just a few minutes, because the Lord is so good. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thy power and the glory belongs unto you. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for an opportunity in the house of the Lord today. And we pray, Lord, that you speak to our hearts. Teach us from your word. In the mighty name of Jesus. And let us understand the things that you will have us know, even at the end of the age. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. As always, the entrance of God's word brings light. Let that light shine in our hearts this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I think we can do better than that. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I think we will enjoy this teaching, especially if you enjoy the Word of God. And it's going to be prophetic a little bit, so it's different. You know, we come out here, we preach different kind of things, sometimes faith, you know, sometimes consecration and all of that and so forth. But, you know, this is... We're in a different age now. We're going into the end of the age. We're at the very shadows of the end. So we want people to understand. I'm going to read a scripture here for us, and in a minute I'll tell you what the title of my subject, subject of my message will be today. But I'm going to do it like more like a teaching, not too much of that preaching, that excitable stuff. You know, so let's just see what the Lord has for us. In the book of Hosea, and I'm reading from chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I also will reject thee, that thou should be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of the Lord, I also will forget thy children. Well, that's not our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. But it is a serious subject. You know, that's why I wanted to read that scripture. I'm not saying that the Lord's going to forget any of us, but it's a serious warning in there not to reject knowledge. In the book of Joel, chapter 2 and verse 1, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Amen. Amen, folks? So I am going to blow a trumpet here this morning. I'm going to sound this alarm, you know, and I want us to follow and see what the Lord will teach us here this morning. Remember Lot's wife. That's right. That's what we're going to talk about. Remember Lot's wife. And like I said, it'll be prophetic and it's also a warning, you know, and there are many things that the Lord will have us. So you pay attention. Pay attention to the word of the Lord, because God doesn't want to destroy us along with the rest of the people, you know. So he gives us warnings and gives us ample warnings, I would say. Remember Lot's wife. I'm going to read this story from Genesis chapter 19. Praise the Lord. Genesis 19, there is a story here. I'll read from verse 15. In this story, of course, the Lord had heard, you know, all the evil report that had come up to his ears, you know, against the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he went down, check it out, you know. So, and before the Lord would destroy the place, he sent a couple of angels to go out there and pull out Lot and his family because of his mercy to them. Let's start at verse 15 of Genesis 19. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here. See, there was a warning. Lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. So the angel said, look, get out of this place so that you will not be consumed with the iniquities of the city. And while he lingered, see, Lot, I don't know anything about this Lot, exactly, but, I don't think he really wanted to leave the place. So there's going to be a message here for us to pay attention to this morning. This man, perhaps he really didn't want to leave the place. Maybe he was enjoying all the, celebrity status or whatever he had. I don't know. Maybe he was whatever. I don't know why, he lingered when the Lord gave him that warning. Or maybe it was because he didn't understand, the urgency of the message. So he lingered. Now that reminds me of the world that we are living in today. People do not understand the urgency of the time that we're in. So that's why this message is here today. Now, while he lingered, the angels laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife. Now, take notice of this. Why? And the daughters. Because the Lord was having mercy upon him. The Lord being merciful unto him. Even in spite of his lingering, God wanted him out of there. So the angels laid hands on him, dragged him out, and so forth. They brought him forth and put him without the city. And they gave him a commandment. They said in verse 17, and it came to pass, when they had brought him forth abroad, they said unto him, escape for thy life. That's right. Look not behind thee. He gave that instruction to him, his wife, and his two daughters. Look not behind thee. Escape for your life. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed. And this is why I said that Lot, there was a reason why he didn't want to leave. It's, you have to read the next few verses, which I actually would like to skip, but, let me just read it. Lot began to bargain with them. Look, this city over here, this one over here, may I go over here and so forth? I don't think he really wanted to leave the place. Well, the angel of the Lord had mercy upon him nonetheless. And I said, well, okay, fine. For your sake, you can go to that place also, but I will spare that place. But, they warned them. Escape. Don't look behind. I don't know, even the Lord, the angel of the Lord told him, listen to this in verse 21. I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, and I will not overthrow this city, the place that he said he wanted to go, because of what you have spoken. But they continue the warning, but hasten thee, escape thither, because you're holding up what I want to do. The mercy of the Lord was even telling him, look, I cannot overthrow this place. I cannot do anything until you get out. So get out. Don't look behind you. And so on and so forth. So they got out quite all right. But unfortunately, let's read the sad part of the story. Now, the sun was risen, verse 23, upon the earth, and when the Lord entered this city, Zoar, that's the place he wanted to escape to. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he was through those cities, and all the plain, and the inhabitants of the cities, and so forth. And that which grew upon the ground, God just wiped them out. But the sad part of the story is in the next verse. Despite all the warnings that God gave, don't look back, escape for your life, and so forth. But Lot's wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. I don't know if it was radiation. I don't know whatever it was, but the Lord warned them, don't look back, hasten for your life, don't delay, don't let your heart stay there. Get out of that place. She left, but her heart did not depart. Her heart stayed there. And she looked back, even though the Lord had warned them, don't do it. Don't even look back. Don't even think about it. And she became a pillar of salt. How very sad. Now, let's pick up the story in Luke chapter 17. In the book of Luke chapter 17, there's a narrative which the Lord, I mean, it's one of those prophetic chapters in Luke, but, you know, let's see how the Lord addressed this subject here. So from Luke chapter 17, let me start from about verse 20. And then, you know, the Pharisees demanded of him when the kingdom of God should come. So he answered unto them, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. You know, it's not, you know, you're going to look here, you're going to look there, you know, but he's going to tell them. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for the kingdom of God is within you. Now, Jesus always liked to speak in paradoxes, you know, and the people most of the time never understood him. So he went on to tell them, you know, to tell the disciples, say, look, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. And he said, what are you talking about? You know, then he said, look, and when they shall say unto you, see there, or see there, go after this place, and so he said, don't follow them. Don't even worry about it, because that day is going to come. He said, as the lightning that lightened out from one part of the heaven shineth unto the other part, so shall also the Son of Man be in the day that he cometh. So don't let anybody tell you that it's in one secret place or over there. No. But first, he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man when he is coming and when he is going to be revealed, the days of Noah. What did they do? They did eat. They did drink. They married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. So the whole world looked like one day, looked like everything was just going on the way it was going. You know, but only one family actually knew what was going on. The rest of them didn't know. Well, because they knew or didn't know, that did not prevent the thing that God was going to do. Amen. Some people argue today because they are ignorant or willingly ignorant. That's why I read that first verse in Hosea, do not let, you know, lack of knowledge destroy you. You know, some people just don't know what's going on, and they think that because they don't know, that's going to prevent what God's going to do. God's word keeps marching on. Amen. Whether you know or you don't know. These people did not know, and it took them all unawares, and they were all destroyed, except for Noah and the people that were with him in the ark, and of course the animals. Now, and then he goes on to say, likewise also shall, you know, like it was in the days of Lot. We just read that story in Genesis. You know, they ate, they drank, they bought, they planted, they built it. Now, just look at all the prosperity that was going on. Yeah, it's a lot of prosperity. They're building, they're doing this, they're giving marriage, and everything's just going well. You know, they're running after the big dollar and so on. Everything's going well, you know. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone upon them, you know, and God just wiped that place out. And he said, look, even so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man shall be revealed. Well, the Sodom and Gomorrah of those days, you know, I think, you know, today has even surpassed that. Amen. The handwriting is on the wall, folks. You know, because of all the iniquity, the cup of iniquity has come up again before the Lord. And God is going to do something swift, but he's warning his people first. See, God always has that thing, you know, he gives a little chance and warns his people. But some people will listen, some people may not listen. Now, and he begins to tell them that in the day, you know, when this thing begins to happen, if you happen to be on the housetop, it's a paradox that he's talking about. Happen to be on the housetop and your stuff is in the house, don't go back and get it. You know, there's something about people's hearts. God wants you, get your mind, get the thing out of there. Don't be looking back. But people are always looking back. So he's telling them, you know, when these things begin to happen, if you are even in the housetop, don't even go back to get your stuff that's in the house. You know? And if you say, oh, you know, I've got some money in the bank or I've got something in the field, don't even worry about it. Don't even go back to get it. Don't return to it. Because this thing is going to come swiftly. And he began to warn them. You know, but they didn't understand. You know, Jesus discerned their hearts when he was talking to them, and none of them understood what he was talking about. So he told them, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. And that's where this message comes from today. You know, and whosoever will save his life, I mean, if you love your life more than the warnings of God, say, they shall lose it. They shall lose it. You know, but if you want to lose your life in Christ, then you will preserve it. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. Now, in that night, you know, all kinds of things will be going on. One will be taking the other left. One will be here and so forth. Two women will be grinding at the millstone. One will be taking the other left. And they say, where, Lord? He told them, he said, look, wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. But they didn't understand any of that. So he just left it. But the message today is, remember Lot's wife. In another place, Jesus was speaking in the book of Luke chapter 9. Turn with me, Luke chapter 9 to verse 62. I think that may be the last verse in that chapter. And here's what Jesus had to say. No man, having put, because what happened was this man that Jesus invited, come and follow me. He said, well, you know, I will follow you, but you know, I want to go do this and I want to go do that, you know. And Jesus was telling them, look, actually the man, he wanted to follow the Lord, you know. And the Lord gave him, you know, some strict guidelines. He said, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And the Lord said, look, foxes have holes and these ones have a place to stay. Son of man has nowhere to stay. And then, you know, then the other one came and then the Lord said, follow me to another one. And then he came and said, Lord, yeah, I will follow you, but, you know, I got to go do this first. You know, I got to go bury my father. I got to go do this other thing. I got to do this, and I got to do that. Instead of, you know, the Lord gave the invitation and the commandment, follow me. He said, no, well, I will, but let me finish this one first. Let me finish this thing. See, and that's like people today. People are always putting off, you know, committing their whole life to God because they want to finish something first. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. You know, well, when after I finish college, or after I marry and have some kids, or after I do this other thing and so forth, then I will serve the Lord. Well, you know, so then the Lord said to them in verse 62. You know, there was another one. There were different ones in this story. Read even verse 61. Different ones. So another one came and said, well, Lord, let me first of all go and say goodbye to everybody. Let me go and do this. Let me go and set my house in order and so forth. Lord said, come as you are right now. He said, oh, now I got to do this other thing first. Okay, so the Lord told them, he said, look, no man, having put his hand into the plow and looked back, is fit for the kingdom of God. This is the message today. You know, if you look back, if you make a decision, or the Lord is prompting you to go this way for the Lord, and if you make a decision and you look back, you're looking back, and I'm going to tell you another story that's even more interesting. When you look back, the Bible says they are not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, this is a sobering lesson here today, but it's prophetic for our time. All these things that Jesus was teaching was for our time. Not only for their time, but more importantly, for our time. Now, there's a story about the life of the children of Israel. And I want to bring out some points about that story. For many years, 400 and some change, close to 430 years, they were in bondage in Egypt. But when it pleased God to send a deliverer called Moses, sent to them. And many people know the story. Now, when God brought them out of Egypt, they were constantly looking back. They were not, you know, when they were there, they were complaining. Because the Lord said, I have seen their affliction, and now I have heard their cry. And now I am come down to deliver them. Now come, let me send you to deliver them, and so forth. So, they were there, they were groaning under Pharaoh. But the moment that the Lord brought them out, they started complaining. And they started, well, were there no graves in Egypt that you should bring us out to that? I mean, we miss the dainties of Egypt. We miss all of these things and so forth. Their heart kept going back. instead of going forward. They were always looking back to Egypt. Now, we pick up this story in Exodus chapter 14. Turn with me to Exodus 14. And this constantly looking back attitude they had gave, you know, ended up leading many of them into destruction, and they never got into the promised land, which God would have taken them into. Exodus chapter 14. Let me read from verse 10. So some of the things they complained to Moses. Now, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, you know, God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. So after they left, he gathered up his army and so forth and began to chase them. That's the story here. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, well, if they would have just cried out unto the Lord, that would have been enough. But they grumbled. See, it wasn't just the crying of the Lord. They cried unto the Lord, but then they started grumbling. How did they grumble? They told Moses, look, is it because there were no graves in Egypt? Is that why you have brought us here to die in the wilderness? You know, why has thou dealt thus with us to carry us out of Egypt? You should have left us there, you know, and so on. In their heart, did not leave Egypt. Are you still with me, folks? Hello? Their hearts did not leave Egypt. And they said, is this not the word we told you when we're in Egypt, that you should leave us alone? Just leave us. Well, they were crying for deliverance. The Lord said, I've heard it. I'm going to deliver them. But now they're saying, well, didn't we tell you to leave us alone? Leave us alone. We told you when we're there. It would have been better for us to have served the Egyptians than that we should die. See, they forgot. And all of God's miracles that he did, in the signs and wonders that he did in the land of Egypt. He forgot. And God was about to show them another incredible thing here, which nobody has ever seen since that time, the parting of the Red Sea. But before all of that, they were complaining, grumbling, you know, and everything against God. You should have left us there. When God said, get out of there and so forth, they get out, but their heart kept going back, you know, to Egypt. Wow. That's so sad. Let's read Exodus chapter 16 and verse 3. This is called the wilderness of sin, or the wilderness of sin. You know, verse 3 of Exodus 16. And the children of Israel said, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. They began to remember. When we were in the land of Egypt, we sat by the flesh pots. We ate the dainties of Egypt. We did eat bread to the full. But you have brought us into this wilderness. The whole assembly is in hunger and so forth. You know, I mean, would to God you have left us in Egypt. We would have been better off in Egypt. And they began to grumble against the Lord. So they grumbled. When the Lord delivered them, I mean, it's like telling the Lord that God doesn't know what he's doing. You know, I mean, God who delivered you out of Egypt doesn't know what he's doing. So you are now telling the Lord, you should have left me there. And your heart was still there. Their heart was still there. Let's look at Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Let me read verses 4 through 6. Numbers 11, verse 4. And there was a mixed multitude. You know, a mixed multitude. That reminds me of the parable that Jesus saw, say, you know, the tares and the wheat. Let them both grow together. There was a mixed multitude, you know, among those who came out of Egypt. It's a mixed multitude. It wasn't everybody that their hearts were right with God. Maybe a few of them, their hearts may have been right, but the majority of them, their hearts, you know, kept going back to Egypt. So this mixed multitude, you know, they began to lust and so forth. And the children of Israel, they wept, they cried, they said, look, who shall give us flesh to eat? God wanted to give them something better, but they kept remembering the old things in Egypt. And we remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely. Well, now they're saying that they were free in Egypt. Of course, we knew they were in bondage. You know, that's how twisted their mind became. We remember the cucumbers. We remember the melons. We remember all these things and so forth. Onions and all the garlic and everything we ate. You know, all this good stuff that we hear. Now you're giving us this. We don't know what this manna thing is. You know, and they began to complain. Well, the Lord gave them the manna. But the Bible says when it was in the mouth of them, in their mouth, he slew the fattest of them. Because their heart kept going away from the Lord. And that's not any place where we want to be. Now, how does all of this relate to us? Now, those are stories that have happened before. And the Bible says that, look, all the things that are written in the Bible are for our examples. So these things are there. And what should we learn from it? And what is the commandment? How does this apply to us today? Well, I'm going to read another story to you now, which is prophetic. And we're going to be going into, in a prophetic sequence and a prophetic set of teachings to let people understand where we are and what's going to happen. You know, so you need to be paying attention. This is only, like a preview, a warning, that we should take heed to the warnings of God and so on. A bit sobering, but it's good for us. In the book of Revelation chapter 18. So we fast forward to events at the end of the age. And this chapter has many meanings, could have a double meaning. But let's look at verse 1 of Revelation 18. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is falling. Is falling. And it's become the habitation of devils. And the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. All the nations have drunken of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her and so forth. And the merchants of the earth waxed rich through her abundance and her delicacies. Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, now, God is depicting what's going to happen to this. You know, it's a mixture. It's a mixture of commercial. It's a mixture of religious Babylon. So you have to start from Revelation 17 all to this chapter here. But I don't have time to go into that today. Some other day. But God is showing the end of this system, this Babylon system. And he said, I heard another voice in verse 4 from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, and be ye not partakers of her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. Well, that's the warning. You know, but again, you know, the human nature is like we've seen before. The same warning that God is giving now, I guarantee you, people are doing exactly the same thing like those people did. After God bring them out of Egypt, this is a religious and systems that are going nowhere. Their heart keeps going back. See, their heart keeps going back. And that's a great warning in there for us. Remember Lot's wife. You know, so let's go back to Jeremiah, where this, you know, prophecy piggybacks on the one in Jeremiah. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 51, let's go back there and look at the, you know, look at the warnings that God gave there. I'll probably start from about maybe verse 42, Jeremiah 51. And God, you know, God has always been talking about, you know, this Babylon and so forth, but we know at the end of the age, it means many more things than just one physical city. It talks about, he said, the sea. This is Jeremiah 51 and 42. I don't have time to read all the story before it, but I'm giving you a better understanding. But, you know, it talked about that Babylon is going to be a desolation. You know, there's something that God's going to do against that system. But here's what he talks about. The sea has come up upon Babylon, verse 42. She's covered with a multitude of the waves. Her cities are going to be a desolation and a dry land and a wilderness. and a land where no man would dwell. We know this is physical, it's literal, literally fulfilled, but there's a spiritual application. Neither doth, you know, will any son of man pass thereby. And I will punish Baal in Babylon and bring forth, you know, out of his mouth that which he has swallowed up. And the nations shall not flow together anymore into him, you know, and so forth. And the wall of Babylon shall fall. Gives all these things. Now, he gives a warning in verse 45. And he said, my people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. The same thing that we heard in Revelation 18. But are the people going to do it? Well, you know, I don't know. So the warning today is this. Are you going to heed the warnings of the Lord? You say, well, I don't know what Babylon is. Well, we're going to come to that. But when the Lord is saying, come out of those systems, come out of those things that I'm going to destroy, don't let your heart go back there. Because when your heart goes back there, it'll just be like Lot's wife. And the Bible says, remember Lot's wife. Do not desire the dainties of Egypt, said the Lord. Because I will bring the judgment that is written upon her, even upon Babylon and her daughters. I will bring the judgment that is written. Well, you have to read Revelation chapter 17 to see. It's called mystery. I mean, it's a great woman, a mystery. To, you know, it's all this, you know, it's a great system taking over the world. There's a religious system, you know, but it has, they have no fear of God. You know, it's got a, it's a mixture of so many things. Jesus described it perfectly. You have to read the parables of Jesus, you know, in Matthew 13. It talked about the tares and the wheat. You know, and it said, you know, a good man planted a good seed. And then in the night, while men slept, the enemy came and planted tares among them. And so when they got up in the morning, they saw that the tares had sprung up. And they said, Master, did you not plant good seed? How come are these tears then? He said, let's go and weed them out. The Lord said, don't do it now. Let them both grow together. See, so there's always going to be a mixed multitude until the end. He said, at the end, then there will be a separating hour. How many of you say, praise the Lord? Now, they've been growing together since then until now. And today, they're so close. You can't even decipher one from the other. You know, it's like when you plant maize. I know when I was a little child, we used to plant corn, you know, and the thing when it grows, I mean, it didn't look any different from this Bahama grass. They looked the same in the first few days. And because they were so close, when you try to weed the thing out, you might weed out the real corn. You know, so the Lord said, just don't worry about it. Let them both grow together. At the end, their fruit will tell. Amen. That's right. You know, so today in the church, I'm not talking of this church exactly, but in the church, you know, or you might say churches, because the church comprises of churches. There's a mixed multitude. There are some people that don't want anything to do with the Lord, you know, but they are there anyway, you know, and their purpose there is to be a distraction. The purpose is to say, look, we ought to go back to Egypt. You know, we ought to, you know, we had things better over there, and so forth like that. Well, you know, the Lord has seen it, said the Lord. He has seen it, and he knows how he's going to sift it. He said, my fan is in my hand, and I will thoroughly purge my floor, said the Lord. There is a sifting, folks. You know, we talked about a shaking that was coming. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about that during the Holy Ghost invasion message. There is a shaking that is coming, and there is a sifting that is coming. And there are some warnings that the Lord is giving us here. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It starts at verse 14 and says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Well, does this mean that you should not fellowship with unrighteousness? Yes. That's exactly what it says. Don't read it any other way. That's exactly what it says. There is no fellowship between righteousness and unrighteousness. there is no communion between light and darkness. There's no communion. You see, there is no concord with Christ and Belial. And there is no path between him that believeth and an infidel. You know. But today, do people take heed to these things? Be not unequally yoked with, together with, you know, unbelievers. Jesus said, do not cast your pearls before swine. Because when you do, that swine will trample the pearls down. And then they will turn again and rend you. You say, well, you know, yes, exactly. That's what Jesus said. Now, what agreement had the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As he has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore? See, this is the warning again. How many times have we read it today? About 3 or 4 times. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself. Hallelujah. And I will be a father unto you. Man, that is so comforting. I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord God Almighty. Now, having therefore, dearly beloved, these precious promises, chapter 7, verse 1, 2 Corinthians. You have these precious promises that God is going to receive you and going to be a father unto you and so forth. What should we do? Well, he said, we should cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Today, there is a strong warning. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Now, let the one that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying unto their churches. And the Spirit of God is saying today, do not desire the dainties of Egypt. Let not your heart return thereunto. Leave the systems of the world. Let them be. Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. You know, but you come and follow me. The man said, no, I want to go do this and so forth. You know, there are dead systems. There's a lot of good people. And the Lord loves those people. They are good people. They love the Lord with all their heart. I mean, many of them and so forth. And God's going to find a way to glean many of them out of those systems. But their systems themselves are dead. They're not going anywhere. You know, you have to read it. And one day we're going to expound it and expose it from Revelation chapter 17. Now, when the Lord gives this stern warning, don't let your heart go back. What does it really mean? Well, that's why he said, remember Lot's wife. When Lot's wife looked back, see what happened to her. If you put your hand into the plow, you know. Now, let's bring this home. And let me just call a spade a spade. In many areas of our lives, you know. If you start something, you know, with the Lord, you better also be a finisher. Amen? Because the Lord is the author and finisher. God doesn't start something and quit in the middle. He finishes what he starts. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me talk to the young people for a minute. I'll digress a little bit and talk to young people. Young folks, you that are here going to school and whatever you're doing, you need to be finishers of whatever you start. When you start on, I mean, we're talking of the good things now, the things that are of good report. We're not talking of evil things. If you're in evil, you need to quit that and come unto the Lord. But when you are into something, like you are in school or you're doing something, you know, to further yourself in life and so forth, stay with it and finish it. Don't put your hand in it and quit. Don't be a quitter. Praise the Lord. Also, the Bible says it is good that a young man, I'm just digressing a little bit, it's good that a young man should bear the yoke. It's good that a person should bear the yoke in their youth. What does that mean? What does it mean to bear the yoke in your youth? It means that, you know, in the days when you're strong, when you have the ability to do these things, you know, don't be lazy. Love not sleep, neither give short eyes to your eyelids, you know, and so forth. A little sleep, a little slumber, you know, so shall your poverty come like an armed man. You know, but be diligent in your ways. Seest thou a man that is diligent in his ways? He shall stand before kings and not before mean men. Can you say praise the Lord? You young folks, if you are diligent in your ways, you will also stand before kings, and you will not stand before mean men. You know, that was a digression. I wasn't meaning to preach that at all, but I'm just following the leading of the Lord here. So, let's get back and finish this message up. What is it that the Lord is telling us today? Well, there are many things that are happening prophetically in our time. And some people just don't have the understanding. It is our duty to bring the entire word of God. The Bible says, you know, Paul, he said, look, I did not shun to declare unto you the full counsel of God. You know, so we have to teach the full counsel of God. I mean, one of the things is also in the counsel of God is for you to understand the prophetic sequence of events that are now unfolding before our eyes. I mean, these things are happening. All you have to do is turn on the news any day. It's all happening. You know, people are gearing up, you know, trying to taunt one another into war and so on and so forth. The Bible says there will be wars and rumors of wars and all these things. They're getting ready. But when we do it, when you see it, lift up your heads, for your redemption grows now. You know, so there are things that God wants us to understand about the end of the age. We're going to be going into that later on when we teach on those subjects. Today, it suffices for me to just bring this warning. You know, it's the same thing. If any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17, he is a new creature. Can everybody say amen to that? Behold, all things are passed away. Even at that level, do not look back. You know, I remember when I was a young man giving my life to Christ and so forth. In that generation, they say, oh, it's youthful exuberance. It's going to pass. Well, I'm still here today. Amen. And I, by the grace of God, I actually believe the Lord stronger now than I did then. You know, so it wasn't anything about youthful exuberance, and it wasn't going to pass because I'm still here. Praise the name of the Lord. But the scripture that we stood on then was, if any man be in Christ, you are a new creature. Don't go back to those old things. Praise the Lord. Let your conversation in Colossians chapter 3 be things in heaven and not on earthly things. Don't set your affection on the things that are here, folks. Because if you set your affection on the things that are here, when God has delivered you from those things, the Bible says God has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. Now, folks, believe it or not, but the kingdom of darkness rules this world. Because the devil had the audacity to brag before the Lord and say, all these things are delivered unto me. They are mine. And I'll give them to you if you worship me. Of course, the Lord defeated him by the word. You know, now. So we are in the world systems now. And these world systems are designed to distract you from the Lord. That's the way that they work. Now, because we are in the world systems and we are not of the world, when God calls you out of darkness, do not go back. That's why many times, even in Galatians and so forth, he tells them, do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage after God has already delivered you. Don't go back into those things that he set you free. Remember Lot's wife, and also remember that outside the holy city are dogs, saith the Lord. I never had intention of saying that. Holy Spirit just brought that. What is the, why are there dogs outside the holy city? Because the dog has returned to his vomit. And the pig, or the, you know, whatever they call it, has returned to her wallowing in the mire. You know, so when the Lord said outside the holy city are dogs, it's like depicting those that go back to their vomit. The things that God already delivered you from, you go back to those things. The Bible says, well, outside the holy city are dogs. Now, so beware now. Beware. You know, I mean, you know, and sometimes people say, well, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. Well, you know, yeah. Let me tell you something. Every word of God is pure. And no word of God will fall to the ground without being fulfilled. So when you, it's a dangerous place when people say, well, that doesn't really matter. Well, of course, that's the spirit of the age. That's the reason why today you have, you know, even people who used to be, I mean, strong Pentecostals and so forth like that. They're now joining with Catholicism. They're joining with, I mean, they, you know, one world's religion. They're joining with Chrislam. I don't know what they call that. You know, I can't even say that word. They want Christianity to join with the Islam. They want Pentecostalism to join with, you know, Catholicism. And then it's just a, you know, a conglomeration of everything. You know, that's why it's called a mixed multitude. It's a mixed multitude. But God will sift down. You know, he will separate. We're in the separating hour, folks. And as many of you as God are calling out, don't be looking back. When God's calling you out, don't be looking back. God has already called. Now, there are some of you that are in this church because by, well, maybe you may think it's happenstance. Well, it is not. Praise the Lord. God brought you here for a reason. You know, and don't be looking back. Now, of course, if you want to look back, you know, the Bible says, well, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in them. He said, but we are persuaded of better things of you, even though we don't speak. Amen. We are persuaded better things, but we must warn every man of these things, you know, so that you will not say, you know, Paul said at the end, he said, look, I'm free of the blood of all men. You know, because I have warned you, he said, look, don't forget how by the space of 3.5 years or whatever, I warned every man and so forth. And he just warned them, he told them of grievous wolves and things that will come and so on. You know, perilous times that shall come when men and women and people, they will not, you know, take the truth, the wholesome truth. But they have itching our ears and so forth. And they want to pile all kinds of things onto themselves. Now, finishing up this message today, where we stand today is that God is getting ready to do something. Something very tremendous. He's getting ready to bestir himself, you know, even as in the valley of Gibeon. He's getting ready to bestir himself as in Mount Perazim. And the spirit is ready to move on top of the mulberry trees. God is ready to do something unique and gather his own. He says, blow the chaff away. And when you blow them away, also gather them for the burning. But separate the finest of the wheat over here and all that. Well, let's take heed to the warnings of God. And let no man, there was a great warning, you know, from John the Baptist and even from Jesus. There was a great warning, you know, where people, you know, they said, look, we are children. We are children of Abraham. We are Abraham's seed and so forth, you know. And John would warn them, and Jesus would also warn them. See, if you be Abraham's seed, then bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. Now, if you be Abraham's seed, you know, because some people say, well, we are the elect, we are the this, we are that. Well, Jesus said, look, don't worry about any of that. God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. If you say you are the elect and you are not keeping the word of God, or your heart is going back to the things that God already delivered you from, God is able of these stones, folks, to raise up children to Abraham. That's a serious place for us to be. Now, this, again, this message is a little bit sobering because it's different, but it's a warning. Now, you say, well, I don't understand all of that. Well, let me put it this way. God has called us to be separate, not only from the things of the world, but for the systems of the world that are going nowhere. You know, because the people have chosen their own ideas above the Lord. You know, there's creeds, there's various things and so forth, things that are not even in the scriptures that people pursue today as the way of truth. But they are not, those are not the ways of God. You know, but What is the way of God? He says, return to the Bible. Return to the Bible and so forth like that. And never mind the beautiful speeches or anything that anybody says. If it doesn't line up with the word, you know, the true elect of God, you know, they are called also the word bride. They will not be deceived. Amen. Because the Bible says that, you know, iniquity is going to abound all over the place. And if it were possible, well, it is not possible. Amen. If it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Well, if they are deceived, they are not the elect. Hallelujah. Because the real elect, they can spot that word. That's right. They know that word, you know. It doesn't matter whether there's 450 prophets and so forth saying the same thing. One true elect will come there. Is there not another prophet of the Lord's besides? You know, is there not another one? I mean, 450 of them say, go up and prosper. And yet this Jehoshaphat, he comes there and says, well, yeah, that's all good. But isn't there another prophet of the Lord besides all these 450? All you need is two or three. The mouth of two or three, let every word be established. And 450 of them are saying the same thing. Yet this man is saying, let us hear from another prophet of the Lord. Hallelujah. There is a difference, folks. There is a difference. And they can discern right there. And the true elect will not be deceived. You know, but if somebody be deceived, in fact, if a prophet be deceived, I, the Lord that deceived him, will also destroy him. That's what the Lord said. You know, so be careful now. You know, there is a great delusion that is coming at the end of the age. And part of the delusion is very subtle. It's to say, well, it doesn't really matter. We are all the same. It doesn't really matter and so forth like that. Well, yeah, you know, has God said, you know, that don't touch every fruit that is in the tree, in the garden? God didn't say that. I mean, all you have to do is just mess up the word of God a little bit, twist it a little bit, and get the people confused. You know, and that old wily serpent, he's so slick. He has been doing this for thousands of years, and he knows how to do it. And he'll say, well, you know, and he could just throw a little thing there. Remember, folks, a little leaven. What? A little leaven does what? Leavens the whole lump. All you got to do is put a little leaven in there and the whole thing is leavened. Leavened. That's right. And there are many leavens. There are many things that are going in today. Even into churches that used to believe the word of God. And the people that used to even stand up for the word of God and believe the truth. You know, and those who are called out of this in this end time that really believe that the Lord is coming. You know, sometimes people refer to it as the end time message. Well, maybe end time or not, but it's already in the Bible anyway. You know, but it's just a little leaven. That's all it takes. A little, you know, shift this way, a little shift that way, and so forth like that. And the next thing you know, it's like a gray line anymore. You know, you can't even tell the difference. You know, everything's looking, the church is looking like the world's looking like the church, you know, you know, and so forth. But a true elect of God, they will not look back. After that, God has separated you from the evil that is in the land. Don't let your heart desire those things again. And after God has separated you from the world systems that are going nowhere, you know, and I will be expounding upon that at a later time. Don't let your heart desire those things again. Because the hour is coming, and now is, said the Lord. You know, one time, the Lord said, the hour is coming, you know, when all that hear the word of God and so forth shall leave. You know, and now is the time, he said. But he also said, well, the hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of Man. Well, folks, there are some people that have the real seed in them, but they may be like in the graves, but they will hear that word. And that true light will strike that seed, and they will come out of there. Because God will not do that until they come out of there. He's going to destroy that place, but he's going to give them a chance to come out of there. But when he sounds his warnings, how great are his warnings? Blow the trumpet, folks. When he sounds those warnings, if you linger, he may be pulling you. He may be yanking you today because you are still lingering. But after a while, you know, it's done. And he said, let him that is holy be holy still. And let him that is righteous be righteous still. And let him that is unrighteous be unrighteous still. Let him that is unholy be unholy. It is done, folks. After that, there's a time, folks. There is no more. He just puts it right down. That's the end of it, folks. Now, don't mess with time because you don't have it. You don't have nobody. Nobody has time, folks. You cannot put hand to your chest and say, I will be here by this time tomorrow. You can't do it. You have to say, by the grace of God. Amen. You know, so we have a little time for us to yet walk and gather, you know, gather the harvest. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit said, look, you know, go out into the byways and the hedges. Gather the harvest. The real harvest is coming, folks, into the house of God. And if you are part of it and you come in, don't look back. You know, there are people that are sitting in here that God has delivered you from things, darkness things. You know, there are some people may even be sitting here, maybe God delivered you from, you know, alcoholism, drugs, and so forth. Don't look back, folks. If you look back, you know, some people say, well, they are struggling with this. You know, are you telling me that God does not have the power to snap that like that? And he does. But you must stay in the word of God. Amen. People, because they don't stay in the word of God, they are drawn of their own lust back into those things. Stay with the word of God. I want us to stand to our feet here this morning. Do not look back. Remember Lot's wife. Hallelujah. What happened to Lot's wife? Well, she became a pillar of salt. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm. Well, we are blowing the trumpet, folks. And we are sounding the alarm. There is a gathering of the sons of God. Hallelujah. From wherever they are. Those that are bound in the systems, God's calling them out. Praise God. You can't clip the eagle's wings, folks. They are going to fly. Hallelujah. You know, and the devil wants to clip some people's wings, you know, but the Lord's not going to let it. He can't do it. You know, the eagle, he soars. He doesn't mess with those other birds. He soars high. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, Lord, lift up your hands, everybody here this morning. We're going to pray that the Lord, I'm going to pray that the Lord give you an understanding. The Bible says, I speak as unto wise men. You know, have understanding in the things that I say. Well, you know, I'm speaking as unto wise. And I've dropped it today as like a parable. But it's also an instruction to escape. Escape for your life. Escape into the hills, they were told. Don't even look back. Now, if you are already escaped, then be clean escaped, saith the Lord. Amen. Stay escaped. And don't look back and don't be entangled again with the yoke of Egypt. Now, lift up your hands and I'm going to pray that God will give us an understanding. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray and I pray, Lord, today that you give an understanding to your people. The warnings of the Lord, how great they are. Come out of her, my people. Come out of those systems. Come out of those things and don't be entangled again. Don't go back in there. Come out of them, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Lord Jesus, all the things that you have delivered us from our sin nature that you have delivered us. The Bible says, sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Amen. God has delivered us from sin. Shall we who have been set free, you know, live in sin again? God forbid. He has delivered us from that. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, we pray that you incline our ears to your word. And how great your warnings are at the end of the age. We know that we are in the separating hour. And we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible says that God will begin a separation. Even judgment begin at the house of God and so forth. And today, I want to challenge everybody. Who is on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side here today? You know, I want to see your hands up if you are on the Lord's side. Who is on, you know, Moses, he challenged them. He said, if you are on the Lord's side, come over on this side. You know, in the days of Korah and so on. If you are on the Lord's side, he said. Who is on the Lord's side today? Remember, when you make that decision, do not look back. There's a song that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. And no turning back. If you look back after you put your hand in the plow, the Bible says that we are not even worthy of the kingdom of God. That's not looking back, folks. Now, we cannot do this by our own strength. You know. Peter said, well, I will never deny you. And he did. So we're not going to be like that. Amen. Amen, folks. We're not going to be boastful. We're not going to be arrogant. We're not going to think that we can do it by ourselves. Because we cannot. But we will not frustrate the grace of God either. Because the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. Teaching us that denying ungodliness, folks, and worldly lusts, we should live in this world soberly, righteously, and holily, looking for and expecting and hastening unto the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That's what we are looking for, folks. And be not weary. The Lord is coming soon. Amen. Father, Lord, as many as desire in their hearts today to follow on to know the Lord. Bible says, then shall we know. If we cling on to the Lord, we'll follow on. And we know that we have known the Lord. Hallelujah. Come and let us return unto the Lord, our God. Because God is in his separating hour. And we are here too. Father, we thank you for understanding. And we thank you for wisdom. Cleanse our hearts, O Lord, that we will not even touch the unclean thing. The Bible said, touch not the unclean thing. And remember, folks, remember also Achan. He touched the unclean thing and brought judgment upon the whole congregation. Touch not the unclean thing, said the Lord. Separate ye, and be separate unto me. And the Lord said, I will receive you, be your father, and you will be my children. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated.